showtime.
Blog Talk Radio.
To Sports Urban Legend with your host William Ramon, and I'm William Ramon, and along with my co-host Macaulay Matthews. What's going on?
Hey, what's going on, guys? What's going on, Will?
Not much. Just doing the show with you. The number is 718. I mean, right, actually 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189.
You
give us a call.
You just said, what's going on? I just said, what's going on? You said, nothing. Just doing a show with you. National. A big sports day today, huh, Will?
Yep. Another heartbreaking loss by the Knicks, who have their two-game winning streak snapped by the Celtics. Mm-hmm. And a heartbreak loss, 105-103 loss in overtime.
Yeah, man, this close to winning.
I know, this close. And like you said, and Eddie Curry said it himself, maybe he's lucky charm for the team.
I mean, I thought when Curry came in, he was going to be like the A-Rod of the Knicks now, you know, because we were 2-0 with him. But today we finally lost with him, so.
There goes that lucky
charm.
Well, they were competitive, I'll give them that. But this team's lapse on defense, especially protecting people in long range, especially the three-point range, they let Garnett, nail the final dagger in the coffin. Garnett had a horrible night today.
Yeah, man. He only shot, like, what, 3 field goals? I don't know, make 3 shots or
yeah.
something like that?
Yeah, I'd say he scored about 8 to 10 points
yeah.
overall. He definitely was a non-factor in the game. I mean, before he hit the game-winning two-pointer at the buzzer.
Yeah, and that shot was the best shot of the night.
Yeah, the key players of the game was Harrington with the Knicks. He scored 33 points, 9 rebounds, and Paul Pierce. He scored 30 points with 9 rebounds for the Celtics to the win.
Right. Yeah. Harrington is a. Everything he's been from the bench, but you know he has big shots.
Yeah,
he
was.
He had a Nets game, you know.
I think he's definitely earning a spot on the team. Maybe hopefully as the third or fourth best option on the team.
Yeah, but I don't know if he'll be back next year though.
Yeah, I think, but like in a you know for less money, if you could lure a LeBron James and or a Dwayne Wade or a Chris Bosh,
mm-hmm.
somebody of that ilk. To come over here, try to resurrect this sinking organization.
Right.
I think Harrington would be a great third or fourth option on a winning team.
Yeah, I agree with you.
But they have ways to go.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Well, I mean, he's been playing good. He might win the Sixth Man Award this year, probably. But you know, if we do resign him next year, I wouldn't be mad.
Yeah. Especially at a lower contract.
Yeah.
Wouldn't hurt.
And what happened to Jerry Jeffries? I mean, this guy's always injured.
Yep.
He was on the bench today. You didn't see that?
Yeah, and he's always a huge help for the team. The other team. when he turns the ball over, whether it's on a shot attempt, they don't even guard him behind the 3-point line.
Yeah.
Shoot, they don't even let him. They don't even guard him when he's dunking. They know he's gonna break it, so
yeah.
They don't even bother guarding the guy. And they know he's gonna pass the ball, so they just wait for him to pass the ball and steal the ball. That guy is flat out useless on the team. I just hope somehow some team is dumb enough to, you know, be fooled by this guy, and get him off our hands, along with Eddie Curry.
Well, doesn't his contract expire also, Jeffries?
No. Well, him and Curry's contract expires next year. So that it'll be a lot easier to get rid of those guys next year.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, right now we're what 3-10 now.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we're on pace to win 30 games. I mean,
maybe.
But
at least we're looking a little bit better than the Nets.
Oh, yeah, way better.
And thank
the
goodness.
The Nets are about to set the record for the most losses.
Yeah, I was predicting that we were going to lose to the Nets, but thank goodness I was wrong. Shoot, if I was right, I would have changed the name from Sports Urban Legends to Sports Urban Prophecy. But thank goodness we actually beat the Nets.
Yeah, the Nets are 0-13, man. That's a lot of losses.
Yeah. I think they're like four losses away from the record.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Plus they're gonna go on the road trip against the West, so
that's not
they have a strong they have a strong shot at tying and maybe even surpassing the record.
Yeah. That's not gonna be easy. That West Coast trip is gonna be a nightmare for them.
Yep. But you never know, they
decent players though.
Yeah, they definitely have decent young players like Devin Harris and Brook Lopez, Chris Douglas Roberts.
Yeah.
You know they have a good young nucleus. You know, once those guys get you know healthy and you know they should be and get some you know players in the off season. You know they could be a team on the rise.
Yeah. I just hope that they don't get LeBron next year.
I hope not either. Oh. I just hope not, for real. Because we really need him.
Yeah, we do. We really need that guy.
Hey, you know, Before we get to the hot stove, feel free to give us a call at 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So give us a call, ladies and gentlemen. Let your voice be heard. Sports, entertainment, whatever you want to talk about. Just give us a call. Now let's go over to the hot stove. You know, there's reports Roy Halladay, as we all expected, he doesn't want to re-sign with the Blue Jays. He wants to be traded, of course, out of most likely to Red Sox or any of the New York teams or Phillies.
Yeah.
Because he wants to be on the East Coast, and he wants to be on a team that has a that plays spring training in Florida. So both teams would all of those teams would qualify as potential stomping grounds for the great Roy Halladay, as before he tests his free agent in the old 0-11 season.
Well, I mean, the Mets then should try to go after him.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Mets should go after him, only if he's willing to sign a contract extension to remain with the Mets. If he's so adamant about testing the free agent market, and he's not willing to sign the a contract extension, as they alluded to, that he would, just like the Santana situation, he'd be willing to have a 72 window to negotiate a contract extension. If he's not willing to sign a contract extension with the team he's with, then I'd have to be leery about going after him. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think Mets should do whatever they have to do to get this guy.
Yeah.
Because this guy is arguably the best pitcher in the game. I don't even think it's up to debate. It's either him or Santana who's the best. And if Mets could pair those two guys on the same rotation, man, that's a World Series contending team right there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you guys would be the favorites to win it all if you got him.
And they definitely need to, you know, prove the team offensively, especially power-wise, shore up the defense, potentially with a Castillo trade and get Orlando Hudson.
Yeah.
They really need this team. But if they get Roy Halladay, oh, that'll definitely change the complexion of the team.
Oh, yes. Like I said, that'll make you paper champs. Paper champs. But you still got to prove it on the field, though.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And they definitely need to do that because, unfortunately, we've been paper champions in 2002 and 2003 with the Mo Vaughn, Burnett, and Alomar signings. And those teams definitely didn't pan out to the hype. So, you know, you got to play it out on the field.
Yeah.
And, of course, you guys are rumored to be with a guy who I'd love to see in a Met uniform, Carl Crawford.
Well, that would be great if the Yankees got Carl Crawford. I mean, the guy's the fastest. He's one of the fastest guys in baseball.
No doubt about that.
But where would he play exactly? I mean, we got a lot of guys playing in the outfield.
Yeah, he'd play left field, but that would definitely you'd have to most likely would signal the end for
Damon
or Matsui on the team, unless the Yankees are willing to re-sign one of those guys as a DH.
Man, I want Matsui to come back, man. The guy just won the World Series MVP.
Yeah, I would agree with you guys.
You know,
they definitely should re-sign Matsui. Sure, he doesn't. You know, he has like the knee problems, and he's like 35 years old. But that guy, I'll admit it. Every time the Mets face you guys in interleague, you know, he's the second most scariest dude in the lineup, right after Jeter. So
yeah,
you guys definitely should re-sign Matsui back.
Yeah, I mean, Damon, he's been good with us, but I mean, I think it's time for him to go. You know, so, I mean, and Damon, he could still play. I mean, and his power is going up surprisingly, too. I don't know if it's because of the ballpark or, you know, I don't know. But this guy, you know, he's showing that he could hit a lot of home runs. Now, and he's in his, mid-30s, mid to late 30s or something like that?
Damon, yeah, he should be like 36.
Yeah, and the guy's showing power. You know, he's almost 40 years old.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's taking steroids or, you know. I doubt it's steroids.
I doubt it, too, but then again, in this day and age, you never know. But I don't think he's taking it. I think it's a combination of the ballpark and the lineup he's surrounded, you know, around.
Yeah.
That led to it.
Yeah. And the guy was always a good hitter, a very good hitter. So.
Yeah.
But I just want them to sign Matsui.
So what do you think are the chances with Lackey? Because there's conflicting reports. You know, Mets might sign him, or they might not sign him because he's going to be out of their price range. He might go to you or Red Sox, the Yankees or Red Sox. What you feel about where is John Lackey heading to?
I think he's going to go to the Mets. I mean, that's my feeling. I think the Mets are going to try to sign the guy.
I sure would hope so, because Mets have also been rumored to go on after Joel Pinheiro from Cardinals, Jason Marquis of the Rockies.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't oppose to either of those guys signing, as long as they get a sure number two starter, whether it's John Lackey or an ace like Roy Halladay. So they, you know, if they could get either Roy Halladay and or John Lackey, which getting both would be nearly impossible.
Yeah, and the Mets signed another Angel last year, K-Rod.
Yeah, and they might sign another.
You think with him?
Yeah, they might sign. Mets might sign another former Angel too from that 0-2 championship team, Molina.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah.
There's that possibility.
Which one, Yadier or?
No, the.
Or not Yadier.
Yeah, Benji.
I mean, Benji or Jose, because I think Jose Molina is a free agent also.
Yeah, but I think they would if they would go after catcher, it'd most likely be Benji Molina or Rod Barajas or maybe even Pudge Rodriguez on a. If they don't sign either of those two guys or acquire somebody in a trade for, you know, let's say Chris Snyder from D-backs in that rumored Castillo trade. But, you know, it looks like it's going to be an interesting offseason. Mets have no doubt they definitely need to bring out the bucks.
Yeah, they need to. I mean, last year they didn't spend that. They didn't really get anybody because of the Bernie. I'm guessing because of the whole Bernie Madoff issue.
Right.
You know, because this offseason they need to do something though. They need to make a splash, like the Yankees did last offseason.
Yeah, they definitely need to.
I mean, you have to get Lackey or Halladay. Or Halladay. So Mackey, Halladay, or Halladay. Those are the three guys you should go after.
I definitely agree with you.
Yeah, because if you guys don't, then you're going to be in the same position you were last year. This year.
Yeah, just cut into the lead. It's now 14-24.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about the Jay game, right?
Yeah, 24-14, New England.
Yeah.
The third. But before I get to that, I don't know if you probably didn't hear about this, but Mets fans have been complaining about Citi Field. I mean, they love how it looks. I unfortunately, I haven't went there yet. This past season, before they check it out, they're gonna actually listen to the fans and make it more. They're gonna embrace their history. They're going to change they're going to add more Met colors. You're going to see more orange and blue at Citi Field. They're going to rename some areas at the stadium after, you know, famous people who definitely impacted the organization, as William Shea, the guy who was responsible for bringing the Mets into existence, Casey Stengel, a guy who you would know about, yeah. the Yankees winning all those championships with you guys also being yep. our first champion. I mean, our first manager.
Yeah.
Bill Hodges, an original, the manager of the 69 Mets. So, and they're also going to, restock their Hall of Fame, the voting. So they have a new committee who's gonna focus on the Mets Hall of Fame. So hopefully that should usher in more deserving Mets into the Hall of Fame.
That's cool.
Yeah, it would be, because they haven't inducted anybody into the Hall of Fame since Tommy Agee, the center fielder for the 69 championship Mets, since 2001. So it's long overdue. Guys like Keith Hernandez, Terry Cooper, Piazza, those guys, Gary Carter, the list goes on. There's some deserving Mets that need to get their numbers retired and get the respect that they deserve for, you know, bringing prestige and honor to the Mets
family. Wow.
So what do you think about that? I mean, I know you're a Yankee fan.
Yeah, I think the Mets should definitely do that, you know. That's what the fans have been complaining about, the lack of history in the stadium, you know. They should have, and they should also put some banners up of players and jerseys, and maybe even have like a Hall of Fame section for some of the players who played with them, you know.
Right, yeah. Corey,
Gavin, Seaver, Hernandez, Darling, you know, all those great plays that they had.
Yeah, they're definitely going to unveil the Mets Hall of Fame also. So
I mean, I don't think they should have, like, a Monument Park, because that's Yankee style.
No. Well, no, they're not going to have a Monument Park. I mean, you know, they have...
A Hall of Fame section or something, you know?
Yeah, they have, yeah. They're going to have, of course, they're going to have a Hall of Fame plaque, but it's not going to be Monument Park or anything like that, you know?
Yeah.
They, you know... Mets, for the most part, you know, they're pretty, you know, original organization, you know. But, yeah, I don't foresee them having Monument Park, you know.
Right.
But something, you know, unique and entertaining for the fans to enjoy.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah, sounds cool. I look forward to seeing that, hopefully, this upcoming 2010 season. But first they got to, you know, get some... Give the Mets fans some Christmas, an early Christmas present.
Get one of these free agents, yeah.
Yeah. And maybe an ace from Toronto. That definitely help out.
Oh, yeah. You guys definitely need to go after him or Lackey. Or both.
Hey, I take both. I don't know if they'd be willing to commit over $100 million to three different pitchers. I'd say go for it, but... I don't know.
Mm.
I'll believe it when I see it, but I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
Yeah.
So, tell us how, of course, the Giants won in overtime.
Yeah. And they were leading like 24-14 entering the fourth quarter, I think. And they just let the lead evaporate. I mean, the Falcons tied it with like 4 minutes left in the game. And right there, I thought, okay, here we go again. You know, just like 2 weeks ago, you know, we're gonna lose this game after leading by 10 points. But they overcame that adversity, and they hit a field goal in overtime, and they won it by 3 points, 34-31 going away. So looks like the Giants are still in this thing. You know, they're still capable of winning this division.
Yep.
I mean, they're 6-4, and the Cowboys won today. They're 7-3, so they're only one game back of the Cowboys. So they still have a chance.
They definitely do.
Yeah. And the Giants are going to play, by the way, on Thanksgiving Day against the Broncos. So that'll be good.
Yeah, I'll definitely be a much watch game to see.
Yeah. So after all you guys finish eating your turkey, you could just go watch the Giant game.
Yep. And hopefully they'll keep this one game winning streak going, so you know the Giants fans won't lose their turkey. A lot of stuff they lost.
If they lose that game on Thursday, I'm gonna throw my turkey at the TV. I'm not playing.
I hope Eli likes turkey drumsticks.
But you know, they're showing in this, and you know, if they could keep it up.
Yeah, I think they'll pull it off.
And your Jets, by the way, your Jets are only down by 10 now, so
yeah,
8, under 9 minutes to go in the third quarter against
yep.
the Patriots, so.
Well, yeah, definitely. They got a shot, but you know they definitely need to stop Brady from scoring more touchdowns. So they and play, you know, keep the defense. They definitely need to improve on the defense. You know, stop these guys from scoring.
Yeah,
especially,
they need to have
Randy Moss. Because if they could somehow pull this off, you know, being a little under two touchdowns down, they might have a shot to sweep the series.
Yeah.
But they got an uphill mountain to climb, which is Tom Brady. So they need to, you know, calm down and just, you know.
Well, there's a lot of time left, though. They have, yeah, they do have a chance. There's a lot of time left. Their defense needs to, like, you know, stop them every chance they get near the red zone.
Definitely. By the way, for people who's listening, feel free to give us a call at 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. And, yeah, we were talking about this thing a little bit yesterday on your show. For those who, in case if anybody wasn't listening, tell us about your experience at MSG on Monday.
Well, like I told you last week, I was going to go to Monday Night Raw. And it was going to be at Madison Square Garden. And I went with my younger brother, who's a big wrestling fan. And when we got there, man, there was a bunch of people waiting outside. You know, like I told you, it was like the Yankees were playing at Madison Square Garden or something. Or there was a rock concert for Taylor Swift, you know. It was a big line. And the line was moving real slow, too. So when we finally got in there, we got some food to eat. And went to sit down, and the show was already beginning. But it wasn't Raw that was starting. It was they were taping Superstars on the same night. So we got to see Mark Henry wrestle Cody Rhodes. And then after he beat him, you know, that's when the show started a little later on. And it was a good show. I mean, you had some funny moments, like when Santino came out with all those jerseys, all those New York Force jerseys. And came out with the Rangers jersey, then he took it off, and then a Knick jersey, and then he took that off, and then it was a Met jersey, then he took that off, then a Philly jersey, then finally a Yankee jersey, and that drew loud cheers from the audience. But
yeah, definitely the Yankee jersey, definitely he got a lot of applause for that one. The Mets, watching on TV, you know,
yeah.
the Mets one seemed... at first, it seemed there was cheers, and then afterwards, it got split down the middle.
Yeah.
There was definitely more of a Yankee contingency at MSU.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there were some boos. Don't get me wrong. There were some boos for the Yankees. But, you know, I'd say they got more cheers than boos.
Yeah, definitely. Well, from what I heard watching the show.
Yeah. And how surprising. The Knicks got booed in their own building. How surprising was that?
Well, yeah, nowadays people mostly come to see the Knicks, to see LeBron James and all the superstars beat the Knicks. So,
yeah, exactly.
You know, when when the fans are being, the true fans are being, you know, priced out, and the corporate fans, you know, you're gonna have people, you know, coming to see the Knicks lose. You know, they want to see Kobe, LeBron, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
To the next winning.
Yeah.
But the the other major moment of the thing was it was like the emergence of Kofi Kingston.
Oh yeah. I don't know how to sing the song, but you know it goes something like that.
So yeah, he's dropped the Jamaican gimmick, and they're actually making him talk, you know.
Yeah.
He's really starting to emerge, you know, as a strong fan favorite and possible main eventer.
Yeah, he's getting a major push. I mean, he's fighting Randy Orton now, so when he climbed up that pole or whatever you want to call it, the fence, so, and jumped onto Randy Orton on the table. I mean, that got a loud cheer and applause from the crowd because this guy's exciting and, you know, he's not afraid of guys like Randy Orton and, you know, Triple H or any of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
So he looks like, you know, he could be a future heavyweight soon. Maybe.
Yeah, definitely.
No.
And how did the fans react towards the Triple H DX pedigree towards Hornswoggle?
Well, I mean, it was mixed. It was boos and cheers, you know. But then after, you know, when they put him on that little stretcher, I mean, they applauded, you know.
Yeah, they definitely came prepared.
I don't think they're going to get that back. There are a lot of DX fans at the Garden, man. There are glue sticks everywhere.
Yeah.
Glue sticks everywhere, so.
Yep. You got to give the kudos to the Garden crowd. They, you know, they definitely made that, they definitely made Raw seem like a pay-per-view event.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was definitely like a pay-per-view event, man.
And
I tell you, like, there's a little kid sitting next to me who was really annoying, you know, but, I ignored what the kid was saying to me. He was talking to me like I was one of his little buddies, but, I didn't pay any attention to him, but he was kind of annoying. But overall, the show, it was great, man. And hopefully you could come. You could, one of these days, you could go and see a show, a WWE show at the Garden.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to.
Or whenever they come to the tri-state area.
Yeah, I definitely would love to check that out.
Yeah,
yeah, that is. Speaking of which, the Survivor Series should be starting maybe, I'd say, probably 8 o'clock. Later today.
Yeah.
But I know neither one of us is watching it, even though it seemed like it'll be a, you know, a pretty good pay-per-view event.
Yeah, I don't know if I could spend that much money during this recession, you know?
Yeah, I hear you. You have
any spend it on some other things, but we're not going to get into that.
Yeah, well, I guess we won't get into that. But, whatchamacallit, you have any predictions for Survivor Series?
Let's go over the matches one by one because I forgot some of the matches.
There's the triple threat match between Triple H, Shawn Michaels, and John Cena, the WWE Championship. Who do you think is going to win that one?
John Cena's gonna retain the title.
Yeah, I think so too, because I think they might milk the DX thing a little bit longer.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping that Shawn Michaels, turns on John Cena and Triple H, and you know he wins the title.
Yeah, I could definitely see that.
It's been long overdue since Shawn Michaels won the WWE title now. Last time he's won it was 08. He held the title was WrestleMania 14.
It's been a long time.
And, he won, when he came back, he briefly won the World Heavyweight title,
yeah.
Which Undertaker is currently the champion. So who do you think's going to win with that one? Undertaker versus Big Show and Jericho.
Wow. Undertaker.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'd have to agree with you again.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping Jericho, proves, like, what he always says, that he's the best at what he does today. And he beats Undertaker. I think it'd be interesting to see that guy have another title reign.
Yeah, but I can't see the Undertaker losing right now to anybody.
Yeah.
I can't see him losing the title right now.
Maybe in a one-on-one match.
That could be wrong, but you might be right.
Yeah. But I agree with you. I think both champions are going to retain their title.
Yeah.
And another thing, I think Triple H Tombstone Piledrivering John Cena at the end of the match. That I think that's a prelude to a possible WrestleMania 26 matchup.
Mm.
Because they didn't have any beef prior to this, and they were tag team partners in that match. So I think there'll definitely be John Cena versus Undertaker.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. That would be a great match.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people would look forward to that.
Yeah, definitely.
Even though, you know, it seemed like when I was at the Garden, there were a lot of boos for John Cena, though.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're turning on the guy, man.
Yeah, because, you know, people are getting tired with his gimmick. And you could see that WWE is kind of packaging him like Hulk Hogan, you know, with the five moves or less. It's like he has to go through all his moves before he, you know, to stage a comeback, he has to go through all the moves one by one in order for him to come back in a match.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and he's trying to be like The Rock with all those funny jokes that he cracks.
But the problem is that he tries so hard that it doesn't even come off natural. It's not even funny.
Yeah.
I mean. He was more funny when he was the rapper version, and he was cracking jokes, rhyming. That's when he was better.
Yeah, I agree with you.
That's what WWE needs to do.
They should turn him heel.
Because it looks like, I don't know, it looks like he's getting bored with his character.
Yeah. They should definitely make him rap again.
Because they're kind of making him kind of like Rocky Maivia. Before The Rock became Rocky Maivia, he was, you know, booed mercifully. You know, they were trying to force feed him as a good guy, and they didn't want him to be himself. So while he's trying to act like he's a good guy and try to ignore the boos, the fans are going to let you hear it until you let the guy change his gimmick, make him turn heel. That's the only way he's going to get the fans back.
Yeah, then chanting Rocky sucks. Yeah, I remember that.
Rocky die, all stuff like that.
Yeah. And then when he turned villain, they finally started respecting the guy.
Exactly. As soon as he turned into The Rock, the rest is history.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they need to do with Shawn Michaels. I mean, not Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels is fine. I mean, yeah, right, John Cena. Shoot.
Yeah.
Shawn Michaels don't even have to hold the title for the rest of his career, and he's still gonna have the pop and the respect that he rightfully gained.
Yeah, well, he's a legend, you know. He's been around for a long time now.
But there's only one wrestler that I wish Shawn Michaels fought in his career, and of course you know who that is.
The Rock.
Yep, the People's Champion.
Yeah.
And there's rumors that He admitted that him and Vince McMahon is working on a show for WWE. He's trying to do something new. I don't know if it's gonna be like a Tough Enough kind of show. Maybe with mic skills. Who knows? He was like you said when I spoke to you about it. When he was discussing about his future with WWE, he said he has a great relationship with Vince McMahon. But he was too vague on what he's gonna do.
Yeah,
when
it wasn't specific at all.
What the show's about or anything.
Yeah.
Because he's gonna give back to the fans, so that should definitely be worth watching if you're a huge WWE fan.
Now, I read that article. I read some of the comments for that article, and some of the people are calling him a sellout.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, I've heard some of that too. But then again, I mean, those are the same people that once he comes back, they're gonna be chanting The Rock's name.
Yeah, you gotta.
I mean, I understand what they're saying. He did sell out for like the past 4 or 5 years until he did the appearance. So it looks like he's coming back, man. He's, you know, he's embracing his past, and he said that he wanted to, you know, do this to give back to the fans. So it's, you know, let's see what he does. Hopefully, whatever he does, you know, I'll involve him getting back into the ring as a competitor, maybe part-time competitor or whatnot.
Do you think he will be a full-time wrestler again for the WWE?
I don't think so. But then again, we'd have to wait and see. I'd be happy to see him fight at, you know, like WrestleMania, maybe Royal Rumble, like the major events. But the more you see of The Rock, you know, it won't hurt. The guy is, you know, one of the top 10 best wrestlers, if not top 5 best wrestlers of all time. So
yeah, and it's better to see him in the WWE than seeing him do Disney movies. I mean,
yeah, I totally agree with that.
Getting ridiculous right there.
Yeah, and maybe he'll answer all these questions when he guest hosts Raw in January, most likely the first week of January.
Yeah.
So that'll definitely be a much-watch episode for any WWE fan or a casual wrestling fan.
I know that day you're not gonna go to work.
No, I will be. I will be.
If you say I want to watch that, I know.
I'm definitely going to have that tape.
Oh, okay.
Hopefully not.
Or you could be watching it at your job.
You never know, but I doubt it. Hmm? I doubt I'm going to have an opportunity to watch it. I'll be too busy, but yeah, I definitely would love to see what happens in that match.
Yeah, that would definitely be a special night.
Yeah, no doubt. Especially if challenges Cena or
John Cena
or HBK. That would definitely be a moment.
Yeah.
A match. Or maybe even Randy Orton. Some people are talking about that, but I'd prefer him to fight somebody he's never, you know, faced before.
Yeah, I agree with you. Did he get him and Randy Orton for before?
Yeah, like towards the end of The Rock's career, he faced.
Didn't Orton
before.
Beat him?
Well, WrestleMania 20, they did. They had the Rock and Sock connection, him and Mankind, or Mick Foley at that time, versus Evolution, which had Batista, Randy Orton, and the legendary Ric Flair.
Oh, right.
And yeah, but before that last match, Rock's last match, he fought a little bit. He fought 1-on-1 with Randy Orton before.
Who won that?
I'm not sure.
I could have sworn
maybe it might have been
Rock.
No, really? At WrestleMania 20, he did beat Rock and Sock Connection.
Oh.
Because Batista did the Batista bomb on The Rock, which pretty much knocked him out. And while he was knocked out, Randy Orton did the RKO on Mick Foley to pin Foley to defeat Rock in his last match.
Oh, okay.
And Mick Foley.
Okay.
If anybody, ladies and gentlemen, you have anything you want to talk about, sports, entertainment, whatever you want to talk about, just give us a call, 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. Don't worry, we're not going to, you know, judge you or anything, you know. Just give us a call.
Yeah, don't be shy. Don't be scared.
Yep. So, you know, just let us know if you want to get something off your chest. You know, just let us know about it.
Yeah. Hey, there's two undefeated teams in the NFL right now. It's Vikings and Saints. They're 10-0. I mean, no. I mean, the Colts and the Saints. What I'm saying. They're 10-0.
Colts and the Saints?
Yeah. I mean, that could be a Super Bowl. That could be the Super Bowl matchup right there, Colts and Saints.
Yeah, possibly.
Although I think the Vikings are a little better than the Saints. Because
yeah.
I think the Saints are kind of a fraud team. I mean, they score a lot of points, but I don't think they could play that much defense.
And Favre, he's had a resurgence, especially after that that tease of a year he had with the Jets.
Yeah.
They were 8-3 till he had that injury, that shoulder injury, which him and Jets report to the NFL, which cost the Jets a lot of penalties, up to like over $100,000 in fines.
Right.
So yeah, he's definitely had a resurgence, and he's definitely have, you know, a lot of talent around him.
Yeah, because last year when he joined the Jets, I mean, a lot of people were excited. They thought, you know, they were super. People were looking at them as Super Bowl contenders last year.
Yeah.
But then they collapsed near the end of the season, right? You know, and they didn't make the playoffs. And Brett Favre, you know, he left.
Yeah. Because hey, let's face it. We all know he wanted to stick it to his former team, the Packers, Green Bay Packers. By trying to play with either the Bears or Vikings.
Yeah. And he got it.
Yep. He swept them, so pretty much got whatever he does, he got his personal vendetta out of the way. So
yeah.
He has nothing else he has to prove. But what a way to stick it to the Packers organization if he actually leads this team, this talented team, to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, who knows? You know, he might definitely win another Super Bowl this year.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe. And the guy's like 50 years old. I mean,
yeah.
Hard to believe.
He has like over 200 consecutive starts.
Yeah.
There'll never be a quarterback like Brett Favre.
Nope. But he also, I think, has a record for the most interceptions ever, right?
What was that? Oh, interception, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, he definitely does.
Yeah.
He definitely does. With a guy like that, you know, when you take that many chances, when you have that many opportunities, it definitely sums up his career. When you take that many chances, you know, sometimes the risk outweighs the reward. Sometimes the reward outweighs the risk. So
yeah, he's a gunslinger. Just like me.
He's like a cowboy, man. Yeah,
definitely. Guy can throw his ass off, and he can also get his ass picked off.
Definitely one of a kind quarterback.
Well, hopefully, it'll be funny. Like, if he goes to the Super Bowl to play against the Saints, and he passes out. He passes out because of old age.
he's like fourth and goal, right? And he he's like a yard away from the touchdown to like tie the game, and he passes out. And they play the Rocky theme song. That would definitely be an NFL moment right there.
Because the guy, he is old. I mean, he can't keep doing this, you know, any longer. I mean, if he wins this year, he has to retire.
Definitely would be better than the Rocky Balboa ending. I don't know if you saw it.
Yeah, I know. When they both get knocked down. You're talking about the Rocky, the new one.
Yeah, the newest one. I don't know if you want to spoil it for some people who didn't see it.
I don't remember what happened in that, even though I just saw it like a couple months ago on
cable. Let's just say it's deja vu. I'll just leave it like that.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, the Tarver, Antonio Tarver was the main character he fights against. Yeah,
to me, he didn't seem like a believable villain. I mean, he was in like, you know what I mean? He was cocky, you know, but I didn't have any animosity towards the guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He was in like Clubber Lane or Ivan Drago or even mm-hmm. Apollo in the first movie.
Yeah.
You didn't, there was no, like, the guy, sure, like those guys, he was confident, but he wasn't like a jerk, you know what I mean? Like, a guy you wanted to see his butt get kicked, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree with you.
The guy, his character, Mason Dixon, I mean, he unified all the titles, and, you know, the fans were pretty much booing him because, you know, he was in, like, a interesting fighter. He won, but he was kind of boring. He didn't really take chances like, you know, the legendary boxers of old and inside the Rocky mythology.
Yeah, so those guys, like Drago.
Yeah, exactly. Those guys, you know, they were power punchers like Muhammad Ali or Joe Frazier,
mm-hmm.
guys who would take, like, severe punishment. They would take the chance. They could take a punch, and they could dish one out too. The guy, he's more like a thinking's man boxer. He doesn't want to, you know, he doesn't go, you know, all in, exposing his body to get hit just so he can knock the guy out. He'd rather win, you know, on a technical knockout. He'd rather, you know what I mean? He'd rather get the judges to, you know, vote for his He'd rather win by decision than to knock the guy out. He won't take the chance at a risk that he's gonna get knocked out.
Right. Yeah, man. That Rocky Balboa, it wasn't a bad movie as I thought it was. As I thought it was gonna be.
It was alright.
Yeah, it was alright. Yeah.
It was okay, but I still think that's the worst movie of all of them. Yeah.
That Rocky V was pretty, I didn't think that was very good.
I was okay. It was better than this movie. At least they had a better storyline. I mean, he had a guy that, you know, he was training, Tommy Gunn, who was played by a real-life boxer, Tom Morrison. And, at least he had a storyline that he was training the guy, and then the guy betrayed him, you know, to go to work with that, Don King wannabe guy.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Adrienne dies in the Rocky Balboa. She's dead.
Yeah,
Oh, man, I spoiled it. Damn it.
Yeah. You did, but hopefully pretty much everybody who's watching this already saw it already. Or care to see it.
Yeah. And they probably know anyway. You know.
Yeah, most likely.
You know, some of them probably didn't see it.
Probably, what's her name? Talia Shire didn't want to reprise her role.
Yeah.
And when they were doing commercials, you know that lady that he was with in the movie? The way how they made her look, I was thinking, like, they were trying to make her be, like, Adrian. So I was like, you know, I hope they didn't, you know, like, because I hate when you're watching a movie and then they replace somebody else. They have someone else, you know. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, I hate
it. Original actor. Because you can never... It's very rare for somebody to outdo the original.
Yeah, I hate that. They do that on TV shows a lot.
The only time that I could think off the top of my head that was actually successful was when Sherman Helmsley replaced the original George Jefferson on All in the Family. Other than that, once you have the original guy, you only have that the original person in mind.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You're right. Yeah.
So yeah, I'm glad they didn't. They made the lady that you kept seeing in the movies, and in the commercial is a girl that he knew in the first Rocky movie when he was telling her, you know, not to be, you know, a promiscuous girl.
Yeah.
You know, because the guys are not gonna, you know, respect you. They're just gonna, you know, use you and abuse you, and then they're just gonna, you know, ignore you. So she, you know, so he pretty much reunited with that girl. And it looked like they kind of flirted. The way how they were setting up the storyline, it was like they were going to make them be a couple, but I don't know. They never really showed that they were a couple, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, I think they were kind of like friends who probably hooked up, friends who hooked up once in a while, that kind of relationship.
And one of my criticisms I had with the movie was that I think they should have more mention of Apollo Creed. Sure, he trained with Apollo's trainer, but I wish they... I mean, Rocky V was more of a tribute to Apollo.
Right.
Rocky V, it was like he kind of forgot about Apollo.
Yeah.
It wasn't
much
references to Apollo, who he attributed was the best boxer ever. Kind of like that Muhammad Ali kind of aura to him.
Yeah, well, Apollo, I mean, he died in the four, so.
Yeah.
If they want to bring that up.
I mean, I'll give them credit. They did, credit him. You know, he did, acknowledge him in Rocky V.
Yeah.
But Rocky VI, there wasn't that much of an acknowledgement of Apollo, except that he was still training with Apollo's trainer that he was training with, during Rocky IV.
Yeah, and Philly fans love Rocky. They go to the statue and pray to him like he's Jesus. I mean, come on now.
That's like the only Philadelphia thing that I have respect for or actually like.
Yeah.
No phrase. I mean, he's that's a guy another guy I respect, but
yeah,
that's a real deal right there.
Oh, by the way, in the Jet game, the Jets just got intercepted again.
Yeah, I know.
If they want to win this game, they can't be making mistakes like that.
Nope. They're definitely not going anywhere.
I mean, there's still time. Like, there's still under 10 minutes left. But, you can't be making mistakes like that. I mean, come on.
The season is pretty much done. Too many mistakes and the Leon Washington injury, that definitely... put the nail on the coffin. Not to mention the four out of five losing record, or one in five. Soon to be that great.
Well, you guys are 4-5, aren't you?
No, yeah, 4-5. But if they don't do a huge comeback, it's going to be 4-6 in no time. Hopefully, Jets can pull a comeback. Well, what time it is, man. Well, I want to thank you, listeners, for listening to Sports Urban Legend, along with my co-host Macaulay Matthews. Thanks for coming on to the show, man. Appreciate it.
See you next week.
All right. That's Macaulay Matthews. I'm William Ramo. See you next week, guys. Enjoy your turkey. Happy Thanksgiving.